أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم إن قتلهم كان خطأ كبيرا ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ومن قتل مظلوما فقد جعلنا لوليه سلطانا فلا يسرف في القتل إنه كان منصورا ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا. And slay not your children for the fear of want, for we provide sustenance for them and yourselves. Killing them is a great sin. The pagan Arabs used to kill their children, more especially their daughters, many a times or most of the times on account of the fear of want, or sometimes on account of their reputation. So Allah Ta'ala says that it is we who provide for them and yourselves. If you are doing this on account of the fear of want, then the basis of this work of yours is really disgusting, because we are providing, and we are providing for you as well, then what's the need of killing this innocent soul? Muslim Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that in this age and time, family planning, preventive measures, and amongst the preventive measures, abortion is a sophisticated way of murdering a child. Child is already conceived in the womb of the mother, and then the parents themselves, in cold blood, they are killing their own child. They are guilty of murdering their own children. How can it be ever forgotten from their memories? This is what I have done to my infant, little, masoom, innocent child. So hence, these measures on account of want really is not becoming of a Muslim, of a believer. When he is convinced that it is Allah Ta'ala that takes care and He provides, what's the need for you killing these children or not allowing them entry into this world? Further, the hadith says, هَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنْسَرُونَ إِلَّا بِدُعَثَائِكُمْ, that you are provided with rosy and sustenance, and you are given support and assistance on account of your weak. So hence it is noticed that a person has got more children, more dependents, old people and children, and he's taking care of them, good care of them, then Allah Ta'ala provides for him accordingly. How he spends upon the subjects of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala takes care of him in his rosy, in his business, in his wealth. Allah Ta'ala grants increase and barakat. And do not even come close to fornication and zina, for this is an evil deed and a bad way, an evil way. The word of the Quran, don't even come close to it. One is the illicit behavior, and one is coming close to this illicit behavior. So everything that leads you to this type of an illicit behavior, you should avoid. Being casual with women, becoming informal with them, and becoming too close to them, these are all ways. Then looking at them with lustful glances, trying to chat with them for long moments, these are all avenues of zina and fornication. A person becomes casual, then he begins to chat, then begins to look at them and see them, and then they become interested in each other. So this is an evil path, and it is disgustful, shameful. It breaks one's own personal respect. People get to know about it and your self-respect is lost. Your self-esteem has been destroyed. It breaks and destroys the basis of a family life. Your family and your children get to know about it. So the respect that you have in their eyes is also lost. They don't any longer have confidence and respect for you like they would have had, because they feel to themselves that this man has sold us away. He has betrayed the respect and confidence. So he cannot be respected and he cannot be held in respect any longer. So your own children lose the respect for you. Then it also destroys the respect. It is also going against the interest of the unborn child. This unborn child has not yet been born. It goes in against his interest as well. Because when there is this type of an arrangement, a zina arrangement, and a child has been born, father gets to know somehow the other that this is not my child. And then he begins to know who is the real culprit, who is the person. Then there is malice and hatred in his heart for the person that was the culprit for this type of a situation. So it creates feuds, it creates problems, fights, leading up to murder. But where it starts off is this type of an illicit behavior. Therefore the hadith says that the married person that is involved in this, then he is a victim of the curse of the seven earth and the seven heavens. The heavens and the earth all curse such a married person that is involved in such a wrong and such a crime. Apart from the fights that it causes, you look at someone else's wife, then he looks at your wife. You begin to chat with his daughter, he begins to chat with your daughter, become informal. Obviously, no person appreciates this. Then the feud starts, arguments start, but the starting point is this type of a casual behavior that is the avenue and the gateway to zina, fornication, adultery. Inna wukana fahisha. So it's so disgusting, therefore the hadith says that actually the iman leaves the person that gets involved in this. In this day and time, there's so many other ways that the same wrong is perpetrated through technology, etc. And you name it, and it is so easily available, and people don't bat an eye committing this wrong. But the stain that it leaves on your heart, the evil traces that it leaves behind, the destruction that it caused to that family life, that only the culprit, the perpetrator understands, that the whole family life that he enjoyed and has been respected, everything is devastated and lost. Just on account of one not respecting the verse of the Quran, don't even go close to zina. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. Similarly, don't slay the soul, don't kill the soul that Allah Ta'ala has declared forbidden, except for a valid cause. And if any person is wrongfully killed, then we have given the right, we have given the heir of the killed person, we have given him a right to demand qisas, the penalty of equality. What has been done to his family must be done to the perpetrator. So we've given him this right. فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. Now that he's been given the right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to demand qisas, penalty and punishment of equality, he should see to it that he doesn't exceed the limit. If man has killed one person, then just one person is supposed to be killed. Obviously, these laws are enforceable in an Islamic state. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. It should be borne in mind that this person, the heir of the killed person, is supported by Allah Ta'ala and by the law. Killing a Muslim, again, is a very serious crime, extremely serious. Therefore, the hadith says that it is easier for the destruction of the heavens and the earth than the killing of a Muslim. And again, if anybody supported the killing of a Muslim with just one single word, just one word of encouragement, half a word of encouragement, and that was used to kill a Muslim, then he will meet Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, maktubum bayna yaday, bayna aynay. On his forehead will be inscribed, a'isum min rahmatillah, that this person has been despondent and despaired of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The sins of a Muslim are always forgiven, but in two cases the sins are not forgiven. One is for shirk and disbelief, and the other that kills a Muslim intentionally, then his sins aren't forgiven. Therefore, the person that commits this type of a wrong, then the motivation and drive in him is killed. He no longer has the motivation and the enthusiasm, the longing for good. Ya Rabbi, give us tawfiq.